Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone, hour number two of the show. This hour number two belongs to you. This show brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Appreciate them and appreciate you hanging out with us today. Started the show talking about this. People are big mad. And Teresa Walker came on, and she's covered every Titans team, and she gave us some perspective. And she said, I certainly remember a lot of people being mad in 2000. People being mad at Al Del Greco, and you know, maybe people's access to social media now, because in the past, Blaine, you think about it, in 2000, if somebody was mad, they had to get up in the morning, brush their teeth, get up, put on some khakis, drive to work, stand by the coffee maker, and talk about how mad they were. Now you can just lay in bed and crack open Twitter and say, I'm mad, and everybody can see it. Who wants to see it? Or Facebook. You know what I'm saying? I mean, in 2000, you had to go somewhere and tell people you were mad.
Yes.
Now you can just put it on the internet. I'm mad. Maybe that's why I think people
are
mad.
What? I'm glad you said that, because it reminds me of what most of our players probably think. I don't think anybody in the locker room felt like it was Al Del Greco's fault that we lost.
Right.
I think every player would start saying, what can I do better to get us to win? I need to do better. And I'm sure that's kind of what the Titans are doing. You know, what can they do better? They're not pointing the finger at Tannehill or you know, anybody else who, you know, us, the fans from the outside or the media who's critiquing. That's just where you go. You got, what can I do better to help this team be better? You know, it just wasn't our time. I mean, nobody's pointing the finger, because every time you point the finger as an athlete, different than when you're a fan base, is you better point that finger right back at yourself.
Yeah.
Because you need to do better. Because as soon as you start doing that, then it will be your fault. Mm-hmm. Better make sure you handle your own business. And it's a team, it's a unit. And we all know some guys are going to have good days and bad days. And you're just hoping that you have more good than bad. And then hopefully, you know, Tannehill can get over the snot. And you know, and it brings me to what I was talking about there is sometimes it takes a couple losses in major critical situations to get over it, then you finally get over the hurdle to then be able to be successful in the playoffs, and referencing Tannehill with the Titans, because he's had now, what, 2 years in a row? Is it with three? Well, I'll just say two as the guy from beginning to end, and where you feel like he should have played better. Could be three, but you know, so you can't give up on them, but you got to say, what are our options? And a lot of people were like, well, there's a lot of options. Well, there's not a lot of options with the way the cap is set up. And you want to believe in a guy. You're just not going to jump ship. You got to give them. I feel like they have to give them one more go round, at least one more year with this group, the nucleus group of seeing if they can get it done, because they're not that far. They're right there. They're right there. So don't push the panic button and do something crazy, unless you can get some elite-level quarterback.
Right.
And if the possibility of that is highly unlikely. Now, you can groom a quarterback, but then you're talking about he has to go through those, you know, pelts in the wounds, you know, to really be successful, unless you get, you know, a Burrow, Herbert-type player in this year's draft. And I don't think any of those guys are coming out this year or kind of like that. But what would the Titans have, the 26th pick?
Yeah, they have to pick 26. So, here's the top five quarterbacks. This was Mel Kiper. I looked last night because I knew we'd talk about it. Kenny Pickett, Malik Ward, the guy from Liberty.
Oh.
Matt Corral, who is injured, so it fits the draft profile.
But what is the actual injury? I never saw that come out.
Desmond Ridder and Sam Howell. That's
Ridder from Cincinnati.
That's the top five.
Sam Howell,
North Carolina.
Oh.
So Pickett probably gone. Malik Ward would be gone. Matt Corral is... he did get injured in the last game. You know, does he drop because of that? I don't know. Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati. I mean, that's, does that turn your switches and flip your buttons? And
no.
And then Sam Howell from North Carolina. Mm. So the easiest and most economical thing is just draft a guy. Just draft him. Then you pay him his rookie wage, and you don't have to move heaven and earth. Now, let's say that somebody down there thinks, Malik Ward. Let's say somebody down there, scout, was like, guys, Malik Ward is the guy. Like, that's the next Mahomes. It's Malik Ward. That's our guy. Okay. You don't have a second round pick to make trades with. So
unless you trade to get the second round.
Yeah.
Coming in, you know, after. Yeah.
So you traded your second round pick to get Julio. So you have a first round pick, no second round pick. They've got a third. They've got a fourth. I think there's a projection. Maybe they have a comp pick, maybe fourth round pick coming. So they got some more picks later. They've got like six or seven picks total in the draft. So do you want to mortgage another number one? Let's just say, again, I'm just saying Malik Ward because maybe he'd be going around pick 15 or so. Because people always kind of move up earlier for quarterbacks. So Pickett, maybe he goes 10 or so. Maybe Malik Ward goes 12. I don't know. Would you be willing to sacrifice another, like next year's number one and then some other capital to move up the, let's say, 10 or 11 spots to get Malik Ward or
whoever
Matt Corral?
They think is the guy.
Yeah.
Probably for me, no, personally.
Okay.
No. Not me, but, I mean, some people, I mean, it depends. I'm not evaluating those guys on a game-to-game basis. And then, you know, I'm starting to look at them when they get to the Senior Bowl and things like that to see how they look on the same field. That's what the whole point is, to kind of separate yourself from the other guys, who's more of a leader and those things. So maybe you go your plan of attack. I like your idea. I just think it's highly unlikely you're going to get a dude. You know, you may can groom a guy with the 26 pick trying to stay ahead of the game. Why don't you do the same thing you did to get Tannehill? Find another starter guy who the organization's like, eh, we've turned the page. Think it's time us to move on. Go in a different direction. I don't even know if it's a guy out there like that. But I would be leaning more towards that because, you know, just in case something happened to Tannehill.
Well, the guy who's a free agent that can make any throw in God's earth is Jameis Winston. He's a free agent.
Oh,
I'm not trying to break the internet in Nashville, but you don't have any trade capital. So look at, okay, who's
he's
a free
coming
agent?
Off an ACL, but
hey, man, Joe Burrow's coming off ACL. He looked pretty good.
Yeah. Well, that's Joe Burrow. He didn't throw for the most touchdowns and the most interceptions in this season.
He's 40-40 club.
Sorry. Vrabel would lose all his hair with Jameis Winston.
It's a good thing lines are loaded because I think the lines would be popping off right now after you said that.
Does that make people think?
Well, Vrabel would be thinking so much he'd be losing his hair, man. He'd have no hair. He has some nice hair up there.
I just
now
want to see his workouts more than anything. Where he's got like a towel and he's like holding the towel. Like I would just want him here for the workout.
Like a video from the rooftop at Tootsie's or something.
So they traded for Tannehill. So is there some they trade him, and the Dolphins ate part of his salary to get rid of him.
Maybe a guy out there. I don't know, but Vrabel found him.
They did.
So you just never know. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
What comes around goes around.
It's a $57 million dead cap hit for Tannehill, and it's like 38 cap hit just for him being on the team. So you don't have a second round pick. You don't have much draft capital to throw around. They're near the bottom in salary cap room. I think they've got $10 million or something right now in salary cap room. We looked
at this. They can reduce some guys.
A couple of weeks ago, I looked this up, and I'm not trying to get rid of anybody, but I'm just saying this. Based on keep them or cut them, the numbers for Lawan, Saffold, and Jackrabbit add up to $30 million. Their dead cap versus what you would save to cut them. I did the math this morning. It's $30.4 million that you could gain by not having those three guys, unless they restructure or do something else. In their current contract state, taking those three contracts off the book, and those are all good players. If you take those three contracts in their current state off the books, that's $30.4 million, give or take like a penny here or there. Mm. $30.4 million.
Well, I would have my B plan, but I would try to approach those guys. Let it go on Ben Jones, I think, is a free agent. I may be wrong on that.
The big free agents are Ben Jones and Harold Landry.
Right. So.
And then who needs to get paid next year, because that is the last year of their contract? A.J. Brown and Jeff. Grande Jeff. Large Jeff.
Yeah. Kronk. Yeah. Kong.
Yeah.
King and Kong. So, that's tough there, man. I'd be real nice and cozy with some of those agents, man, and say, hey, man, we want to make a little run, man. How about, you know, hey, we bring him back at a less salary. What are you thinking?
Those kind of talks you're going to have with some people.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have unlimited money. And like I said,
that's with the cap going up, right?
We looked a couple of weeks ago, yes. And I'd have to look again. But the Titans were like in the bottom half of the league in cap space. There are a bunch of teams like the Packers who are like negative X amount of million. Titans weren't negative. But,
I could say this. I'm just lukewarm on Jackrabbit. But I do like his skill set in that I'm not sure what the first rounder can give me going into next year after having ACL surgery and then having back and then another ACL the year before that in college. So I want a security blanket there. That one there is a tough one for me. And his salary is like, to be honest, for starting NFL cornerback, he's right around $7 million or so.
It's 10 to keep him. It's set.
What is it?
His dead cap is $10 million. I'm sorry. His dead cap is 3 and his cap hit is 10. Oh. So you save 7 if you cut Jackrabbit. But 10 isn't his salary. It's less than that. But that's his cap hit.
Yeah. I'm looking at his salary. But that's what he, yeah. So it's just, that's a tough one for me, especially if he becomes, you know, maybe a backup to Farley. I don't know where Farley's at. And you got to say, you got to put him out there from beginning to end at this point in time. But you don't know. You don't know how he's progressing with his ACL and, you know, where is his back and all those things. So then not, you're out on the limb on getting another veteran guy to make you, you know, hang on to like Buster Screen. I mean, he's a free agent, I'm assuming. Yeah. So do you bring a guy back like that? I would.
I mean,
I would bring back Foreman. I mean, it's just me.
I would bring back Foreman. I'd go sign him something right now. But here's the thing. They drafted a tackle. Panda didn't work out. That should be your tackle solution. You drafted a guy in the first round. He's gone. Your guard solution should be Dylan Raidens, who hardly played this year.
He didn't dress, I meant to say.
He didn't dress. Yeah. This game. In the final game of the year.
Yeah, I heard Vrabel talking about him a little bit, saying that, you know, he needs to get better in all
pad
phases.
Level and stronger.
Yeah.
I heard it.
Oh, my. That was today.
Somebody said that about me. I'm a football player, got to get stronger. Basic things. Like things just like, oh wow, my coach. Because Vrabel doesn't always give super detailed answers, got to play better, coach better. He gave a fairly detailed answer about Dylan Raidens today.
Yeah, he just basically said that he's an FCS player and he's not quite up to snuff yet for the NFL. That's kind of what I'm reading between the lines. I'm like, man, we had a whole season and he didn't dress. He should have been doing nothing but getting stronger. And I'm sure he was, and he was working on all those techniques. So I think he's better than we think, because every time I watched him play, I really didn't see anything glaring like, oh my God, he can't play. So obviously he is going to be a solid player, just not quite there yet with them trusting him. But when they had to trust him, they had no choice to put him he did fairly decent in my mind. I go, I can build on that. I can work with that.
I think that rascal's going to be out there
next year. I thought he did okay. I mean, I'm not going to get, you know, I gave him a C. Hey, that was passing grade.
He's going to show up his report card signed by his parents next year, and I think he's going to have to be a starter on this team. Yeah. He has to. They just don't have money. All right, we got to take a break. I know all open phones. We will go straight to the phones when we come back. All you, all next on Blaine and Mickey. All right, let's roll. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. You've been sticking with us and staying with us. It's time for us to roll it out. Open lines. Phone lines are actually all packed right now. So as soon as somebody drops off, you can jump on. Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline is hot. And Zoe and the ATL is going to lead us off as we take your phone calls. Hey, Zoe, how you hanging in there?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself, man?
And I'm doing all right.
Hanging in there.
Yeah, man. Going back to answer Blaine's question real quick before I make my point about if we happen to get somebody else in there, I think they'll be able to adjust, because the NFL knows that Derrick Henry is the best running back in the league, so they know that, you know, you got to stop him, so you'll have easier coverage and everything, and the weapons that we have also. And also with the thing with Tannehill, I've been off him since we lost the AFC Championship game, because I saw his potential there. And the thing that really irritated me was when PK asked him, like, what do you need to do to lead us to a championship? And he responded back with, we have to do this and we have to do that. Like, if you're the franchise guy, you got to take accountability then and be like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I have to do this. I have to do that. So that right there showed me that he's not built to be what we want him to be. But y'all have a blessed one, man.
Thank you, Zoe.
Interesting. It's hard to disagree with what he just said there on the – he should have said, I need, instead of we need. That's basically saying it wasn't just me, it's we. And ultimately, whether that's true or not, he has to say, ah.
You got
to
eat that
poo
sandwich.
You got to. That's part of actually really having a $30 million salary. Yeah. You got to take that. No different than the head coach. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to.
Let's get, a call from Vegas.
Great call.
William checking in, rolling the dice in Vegas. What's going on, William?
Hey, I've got just two quick things. I've been a Oilers Titans fan since 1978, 44 years. And, you know, I just come, you know, just treat them like my ex-wife. You know, they always let you down. So, you know, just got to.
I hope her lawyer's not listening, William.
Don't be listening to that, Lucas, man. You're not married yet, man. It's okay, man.
Another thing is that, you know, we got to look at the real problem, I believe, is, you know, his name says it all, Todd Downing, you know. Downing brings down the quarterback. You know, if you look at 2017, Carr went down, you know, he doubled his interceptions and his points went down like eight points per game. And this year, Titans points per game went down about six. And Tannehill's interceptions doubled. So if you look at the preseason, he had trouble with interceptions at the very beginning of preseason. So I think that's something with the coordinator that's throwing him off.
William, thank you for the call. It's interesting he said that because a lot of people just kind of poo-pooed the preseason turnovers. Like, he was turning over in practice.
Oh, no, remember, I kept on saying,
And I was going to say, you were like, no, man, that doesn't just go away. If there's a problem, there's a problem. People are like, oh, it won't linger into the regular season.
Well, the only reason why I kept saying that is because he hadn't done that in the past two preseason games.
Right.
So I'm like, well, something's different. And
previous 3 years for him, 9 interceptions, 6 interceptions, 7 interceptions. So he had 13 in his Titans career so far. He had 6 and 7. This year he had 14. He more than doubled, or he more than 13
doubled versus his last 3 years.
13 in 2 years, 14 in 1 year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and I don't know if that comes with now that he's arrived and is the guy, now he's pressing to make plays. And some of it is because he didn't have his guys out there, too. We cannot forget that. Change of OC, which you need to make the adjustment. He was on the staff, so a lot of things were somewhat similar. Wasn't like they canned the offensive, you know, game plans or anything like that. So that wasn't that big of a deal. It's just a cause and flow, but you can – navigate through that when you're quarterback throughout the week on things that you like and don't like.
Right.
And Downing seems like a guy that's kind of flexible. He doesn't seem like, you know, I don't know what he is behind closed doors, but publicly I feel like, hey, if you don't like it or if you don't feel comfortable with it, we won't do it.
Right.
Regardless if you like it or not. And so Tannehill just didn't have a good season overall, but good enough to win 12 games. So then you say, what are you judged on as a quarterback? Your wins and losses are if actually you had a good season looking at your stats.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, it's about wins and losses.
Yeah. Have they reached a point, though, where it's now wins and losses in the postseason?
Yep.
Because they won 11, and then they won 12. They won the South twice.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's 0 for his last two in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at. Can he get us over the snide? And that's where I was bringing up some other elite quarterback, not necessarily Tannehill, but it's hard to get over the snide. Or do you move on and roll the dice? Well, you have to have the pieces in place.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I compared him to Alex Smith, is that they had, you know, Mahomes sitting there on the bench that they had just drafted that season. So obviously they knew something, but they didn't want to move forward. They want to give him one more year to say, if not, then we're going to groom this cat the whole time during the season. If you don't get it done, we got to move forward. Because that was, man, that was a big move.
Yeah, it was.
So, and I'm sure everybody was like, we don't need a quarterback. Well, they might have been saying a quarterback, maybe not that high, though.
Yeah.
10th, because he was 10th overall?
Around there. I know we've had this discussion before.
Top,
Lucas is moving towards the microphone. Was he 12?
Yeah. Mahomes was, I think he fell even further than that.
Did he?
Because Mike Herndon pointed it out on Twitter, Mike Miracles on Twitter, that was a quote-unquote weak quarterback class.
Right.
With Deshaun Watson and Mitchell Trubisky and Pat Mahomes.
He was 10th.
He was 10th.
Okay. I thought he was later than that, 15, 17 range.
Maybe it just seemed like that because he was a quarterback.
Yeah, and he's taken after Trubisky.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, and that's the issue. He's about Trubisky. I'm like, whoa. So, yeah.
2017.
Because they moved up to get him.
Mitch Trubisky.
But he was just the kid with the
second.
Big arm, raw right. talent. Nobody was looking at him like in this that. Context at all.
And he developed really fast under a kind of somewhat of a guru offensive mind in Andy Reid.
Andy Reid. Yeah. Yeah, two picks after him was Deshaun Watson, which what in the world ever is ever going to get resolved with that deal. But, yeah, as you were saying, a quarterback class at the time, people had questions about Mitch Trubisky went second overall.
That's crazy.
Patrick Mahomes
after
goes,
starting 1 year at North Carolina.
That was when Corey Davis went fifth overall to the Tennessee Titans. Patrick Mahomes goes 10th. Deshaun Watson 12th in that draft.
And I mean, that was a weak
TJ Watt 30th. That turned out to be a pretty good grab up.
That was a weak wide receiver class too, because Corey Davis turned out to probably have the best career out of any of the other guys receivers drafted.
Well, Mike Williams and John Ross went within the next three picks. Those two guys, once they took Corey, that started the run. People were like, okay, there's like three guys with a high draft grade. We got to get them if we're getting them. Let's get our man Bam. Bam, what's going on, buddy?
How you feeling, bro?
Well, I mean, be honest, been better on some Mondays.
Considering the situation,
I don't know how to deal. I feel like I just can't explain it. I got this love hate thing, Mickey, but did I make it there a little bit, Mickey? Just a little bit.
Yeah, Bam may have been sending me some messages. He's trying to hotline a top free agent here. He's got some musical connections.
Who you got? You got some music?
Well, let's just say some quarterbacks have musical wives that maybe a drummer might know.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Maybe that drummer. Out.
But more importantly, look, this is what I wanted to talk about, man. I wanted to talk about I was at the game Saturday. And first off, I'm going to tell you why it was so devastating. It was devastating for a few reasons. But one, if you was there and you felt the energy in that room when Derrick Henry came out, man, it was like literally you could feel the building shaking, man. It was amazing, man. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And then for Tannehill for Todd Downing and Tannehill, I'm going to say both of them, to really kind of jack that game like that, man, it was like, bro, come on, this just ain't real. Now, nobody knows the future of where things are going. You know, this window that we have is very small. Julio on his last leg, we trying to keep AJ healthy, we trying to get Henry, you know, it's like, this was a rare thing. I'm going to be honest with you, I feel like Todd needs to go. And I feel like I feel like J-Rob, like he brought Julio in to win now. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if J-Rob won a fighting chance to win, you know, like both Marcus and Ryan are both lovable guys. You love their spirits. You love their personalities. But if they just can't get it done, you just can't get it done. Sometimes you got to get a cold-blood assassin who don't care, who just get it done. Like, we saw the difference with the defense this year. When Bud and them came in, they came in with, like, these mentalities. They came in with these attitudes. And it's like, that good, nice guy ain't going to cut it, man. I say we go get Watson. I say we get Wilson in here. And I say we go to the Super Bowl next year, man. Like, I don't know, man.
Deshaun Watson. I'm still stressed about that.
So he's saying bring both of them or just one of those guys?
He's gone. He racked himself.
Man, you know what? There's part of me, I do agree with him about the assassin part. That's why we were just talking about on the break, was just talking about, you know, the Mamba mentality, the Michael Jordan mentality, just those mentalities of those alpha dogs. Then now there's come something with that, but also you get victories and that they believe that nobody's going to stop them. And they're fearless in the biggest moments of all time. I mean, so that's the type of guy you got. Is he that guy? Or can you manage around that? And that's what tells you if he can be the guy. But, man, this is a window right here. I thought it'd be 3 years, and this is coming close. This is close, and I really believe you still got to get one more year, man. You got to get one more. But most of the time, GMs and organizations try to stay a year ahead of time. So can you patchwork and fix this based off the cap numbers? And I think that means Tannehill has to be here unless, you know, you got a trade partner.
Well, their offseason moves this year for defense said – it ain't us. It's them, the players.
Yeah.
So what they do, they changed a bunch of stuff. And I kind of brought this up a couple weeks ago on the show. Like, hey, man, if this thing crashes and burns offensively, if they don't have the counterpunch again in the playoffs and they bow out, could we see that same, like, it's not us, it's you. We're changing you. And it kind of fell like on deaf ears. And nobody, but here we are. I mean, I brought this up a couple of weeks ago. Because you could make changes on offensive line. Here's the thing they've never had. Not in a long time. Or if it is, maybe you could tell me who it was. they don't have that joystick offensive player. They don't have that guy. They keep trying to throw those little tunnel screens to Chester Rogers, which got their butts in trouble.
We got tipped to him. But they've never had that guy,
though. Right.
They've never had that guy.
But why wouldn't you try to find that guy? It seems like every year they don't go and get that just crazy. And I'm not going to say Tyreek Hill because God only made one.
Right.
But that type of player.
Okay. I'm going to ask you this. Who's the guy that on the Bills? Who is that guy on the Bengals? See, nobody has a guy because that guy actually don't really work. and I mean, he can move the chains. Tyreek Hill's off the chart.
Right.
He's an outlier.
Just a fast, super fast guy.
Nah, it's a lot of fast guys.
Now, here's the thing about Hill is he's straight line fast and he's stop and go fast.
Well, here's what I would go for more of, a guy like Chase. Jamar Chase.
Oh,
that guy, he can run routes. He's fast. He's durable. He can run short routes, long routes, flare passes, what you're talking about. He can do all those things. But he's not a jitterbug guy. He's a football, I'm going to make you miss, get vertical.
Yeah.
Now, that's what you want in the National Football League because everybody's fast.
Yeah.
See, so the lateral guy that is running around crazy in college, most of those guys are just good punt returners and slot receiver guy.
Rondale Moore, that kind of guy.
Man, I told you, he's not going to be a superstar guy in this league like that. And he hasn't shown it. He's just another good small receiver. He's another Adam Humphries, if you want to give him that. Yeah. I mean, I don't even, or maybe he's a little bit better than that. But, I mean, that's what you're going to get. So I don't think in this offense now, maybe in this offense, maybe you can get a guy like that. I mean, Chester Rogers is probably he's average, solid to do those things. That's why he's a punt returner. Most of those guys have this jitterbug about them. But there's a lot of those guys aren't successful in this league because you don't play lateral in this league. You play vertical.
Yeah.
And the league has changed to vertical. And, outside linebacker's chasing that guy down because he has there to the sideline to get you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. How many of those guys are – and you just think, did you see them throw a bubble screen to Tyreek Hill? They might have had one set up, but he made his money running routes.
Right.
And then caught it in his acceleration. It's just off the Richter scale. And so when you look at film, you can't say, well, we got to get that guy. That's, everybody, oh, we got to get Tyreek. Well, how many? There are no Tyreek Hills. There aren't guys out there like that. He's one of the few. Guess who the other guy, though, is? Nobody talks about it. He's almost as explosive. What? Heidemann.
Mecole Hardman.
Hardman, yeah. The number 17 from Georgia. He was number 4. I remember him there. I said, uh-oh, that guy's different. Yeah. His burst is different than everybody else's.
Yep.
And he still continued in this league.
And they have two of those guys.
Right. And I was like, why did they draft him? They didn't even need him. Just in case Tyreek Hill get hurt.
Yeah. But to have that guy with just explosive speed.
Explosive. Right. Yeah, you want that guy. Maybe you want more of that guy is what you're referring to than kind of the jitterbug guy, because that's only – you make one guy miss, then you get vertical in the National Football League. You can't, run in a circle. That just
– Well, and he can do that. And he did it last night and literally waved at a guy who had the angle on him. But he knew he would even beat him to the end zone.
That was unreal.
Waved to a guy who was ahead of him.
The peace sign. By the way, according to the rules, that's a penalty.
It's your – I said that to my wife.
They didn't call it.
I'm glad they didn't call it. The flag when he did that because that was the whole point of emphasis in the offseason.
You could not do that, and he did that.
He got it on his glove because of that. He got the peace sign like painted on his glove so he could put his hand up and it still show a peace sign.
Remember, and that's what the Winfield Jr. did to him after he did the backflip against him the time before.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm up for paying attention to this guy, so, man.
Geez. Explosive top-end speed.
It's just unreal. And he has both, Mickey, that you're talking about. Lateral quicks of the highest level and vertical speed at the highest level. I mean, he looked like he had springs in his feet one time when he made a guy miss. He jumped backwards like he hopped.
Oh, I saw it.
Boom. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Does he have springs in his cleats? My wife looked at me like, man, that was pretty awesome, man. It looked like we had to jump and go.
And he's doing that against literally the best athletes in the world.
Elite athlete. Right. Elite football player. He's off the charts, man. I love to, go see his workout. I mean, he probably doing just what everybody else is doing. He's just that kind of guy.
And that's what I'm saying. I that's why I said I know there's only one of him. But that explosive guy who can make one move and just go straight to the house.
I got you. Yeah. Please do. Cam Bassett. No, Cam Bassett is not up to Tyreek Hill. Sorry.
Honestly, the fastest guy on the team this year is probably Marcus Johnson. Where he can run where he could run that transcontinental route, and there was one play where Tannehill just threw it to him, and he just then outran everybody to the goal line.
He definitely has some vertical speed to him, no doubt, but he's not the, I'm going to make a guy miss. But,
no.
Which they don't have. To your point, though, Mickey, they don't have a guy, and I don't know if they've ever really had the guy like that. Even Derek Mason, who could make guys miss, for whatever reason, he wasn't a vertical threat, even though he was beating people vertical.
Right.
That was through his great route running, his knowledge of the game, his acumen as a football player. But he could make people miss on punt returns, kick returns. So he had a little element to him like that after the catch. But, you know, we're talking about different eras, man. Shoosh. I don't know if they really ever had a guy like that. The only guy I can say the Titans had that was like that, he didn't even play wide receiver. He played running back.
CJ2K.
Yep, CJ2K. Yeah, that guy. You go, dude, as soon as he touches, you think he's scoring.
It would sound like a jet taking off when he started to run because the crowd would go, you could just hear it.
And why they doing that? And I'm sitting up out my seat.
All right, Lucas says we got one more break. We'll take our break when we come back. Phone lines are still loaded, and I have one final Tannehill stat for Blaine and Lucas. It's going to make them sad. It's coming up. Blaine and Mickey 104.5 The Zone, brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Thanks to them for title sponsoring the show. Thanks to all of you. Unbelievable participation today in the Zone TV chat and on the phones. And I know it's been that way all day, and it's going to be that way during the 3HL. They love taking your calls on a Monday, so they'll keep doing that as well. I do have a stat for Blaine and Lucas because I got real curious because it's like you start looking at some of the quarterbacks, and you got Mahomes and Brady, and you got Aaron Rodgers. And you got just all these quarterbacks, and Matthew Stafford is finally getting his chance on a team outside of Detroit. So I thought, I just wonder how many interceptions everybody threw on divisional weekend. Every quarterback that played, 8 quarterbacks. Do you guys know the other 7 besides Tannehill, the total number of interceptions thrown by the other 7 quarterbacks who played on Saturday and Sunday?
I'm going to say three.
Damn, my headphones went out. What did Lucas say?
He said 3.
Oh, crap. I didn't see anybody throwing any interceptions but Tannehill. But that's what I'm just saying. I don't recall. Other guys that I watched, but I wasn't all in watching every move of game. But I'm going to go with 0 because I didn't see any. That's what I saw.
Tannehill threw 3. The other 7 quarterbacks threw a combined 3 interceptions.
Did they?
Burrow threw 1. We all saw it. Right.
Oh, why could I forget? Oh, yeah.
Forgot about the money hooker.
Jimmy G threw 1.
Of course.
Because, and Brady threw 1. That was it. So Tannehill threw 3.
Right. Brady threw the 33, Scott.
Tannehill threw 3. Every other quarterback who played on the divisional round weekend combined for the same number of interceptions. Yeah.
Should have took a picture of Lucas's face when you said that.
That may be the thing that hit me the hardest, because that's when you need your guy to play the best is right now. And they combined for 3. 7 guys combined for 3. And you got 3 over here on the Cumberland coastline on Saturday. That just hit me in a different way. I was so down, but I still watched the rest of those games, and I kept thinking, God, nobody's throwing interceptions. This is so weird.
So 4 of the 6 total interceptions thrown over the weekend were right across the river there.
Yeah, 4 of 6.
Hello?
4 of 18 teams who've had the number 1 seed since 2013 lost the divisional game. 4 of 18. 2 of them were this weekend. It was 2 of 16, both lost it this weekend. That tells you how rare that is that happens.
That's a great stat.
Too. Get back. I missed your stats.
Yeah. My headphones isn't working, so can you repeat what the caller says?
We'll do that. I don't know what's going on over there. Tony the Stud jumping in next on the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline. Hey, Tony.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, man.
Appreciate y'all having me out here on the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
what a wonderful year for the Titans it was. I do want to say 12 wins. We haven't seen that, and you know, since I was a little kid, you know. So, you know, as a Titans fan, you know, this is extremely disappointing. Blaine, I'm so disappointed. Mickey, I'm so disappointed. I'm hurt. You know, there's a hurt when you lose a football game in the regular season. There's a different hurt when you lose in the playoffs. And I just felt like Tennessee, if I took I tried my best to take the fan side out of everything and just look at this team. And the resiliency and the amount of things that they had got through, recognizing on players there on the field, to get the number one seed and then lose to, you know, that first round. And to the Bengals, Cousin Danny in the Burrow, you know, that boy, I love that boy. You know, he's a good dude, man. I'm real happy for him and his team. There's a lot of Titans fans.
And his connection just gave out.
Oh, that's kind of like how my headphones are going out.
Like a lot of people's hearts have given out.
Oh, his, man.
His connection just couldn't painful. Support the pain.
It's a man. I don't even know if I can translate how we all felt. And I'm sure that's how some of the guys, I mean, it hurts. So, I mean, it's almost like it hurts your soul. I mean, you, oh man. And it will scar you. I'm telling you, the rest of your life, it you never forget it. It didn't really, you know, ours was the Ravens, but it wasn't just about the Ravens. It was just that we lost and we knew we were a great team. So it's about more the loss and the pain that you feel with, man, it's almost, I don't know. I don't even want to translate it to something crazy, but man, it's like you lost your soul or something. It's really painful. It took me a couple weeks to get over it. I felt a little bit of that yesterday and in the weekend. As I said, I couldn't really watch the games. I was watching them, but I was just numb. Like, man, I feel like I'm still part of the organization because I know how good this team was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, oh man, it hurts. So I can't imagine. I'm probably nowhere near what the organization and the players and coaches are feeling right now.
I think we got time. Maybe we can get one, maybe two more. Brian in Nashville next up. Brian, thank you for calling.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Doing all right. Hey, man, we're low on time. What you got, brother?
Oh, I got a question. Now, everybody's saying get rid of Downing. Everybody's saying get rid of Tannehill. And, you know, this ain't just that. Y'all not realize y'all won 12 games this year with that quarterback, with that coach. You can't win everything. I don't understand the expectation was high. Do you put into consideration Vrabel messed up the clock? Do you fire him just because he messed up one game?
No, Brian. Nobody's saying fire Mike Vrabel. No, nobody's saying that. And nobody's saying overhaul the whole roster. But there is talk because they have free agents and they have some decisions they got to make is what it comes down to. But nobody's wanting to fire Mike Vrabel.
Oh, he's probably listening to other people. You didn't hear us say
that. Yeah, no. One final, Eric in Nashville. Let's finish up with our buddy Eric. Eric, how you doing, buddy?
The time I'll be real brief because I'm not going to have time to get into what I wanted to get to, so I'll get to it on the next show on the Dawn and Thing. But here's the thing, guys. I think what really frustrates Titans fans, like you said, you were talking about earlier, the fact is that we had 3 minutes to go in the game. Whether we should rush or not, I don't know. But the fact is we turned the ball over. Patrick Mahomes had 13 seconds, gets down to the field. They kick a field goal, goes overtime, he wins. He's going to his fourth straight AFC championship game, potentially third straight Super Bowl. I mean, Ryan Tannehill probably is above-average quarterback, okay. But Patrick Mahomes is elite. He's special. He's a difference maker. He is just like he's balling. And – you know, that definitely tells the thing, wins and losses. And also, they've got a great coach in Andy Reid and a great offensive coordinator in Bieniemy. Not saying that Mike Vrabel is not a good coach, he is, but those type of difference makers that you need because he has confidence we're going to do it. And they come through in the clutch. Whereas, just in this national playoffs, we so far haven't done it. And until then, it's just not going to change. That's the national narrative. We're good enough during the regular season, but can't get it done. And until we do that, we're never going to get the respect we want. So,
Eric, thank you, man. Thank you, brother. We got to go. As Brett Batchelor, our buddy who works down the hall, pointed out earlier, Mahomes needed less time to get down the field for that field goal than Dak took on the one draw play at the end of the Cowboys' loss.
Dak Prescott.
14 versus 13 wow. seconds. 3HL coming up next. They'll continue the therapy. Hold if you're on hold. They'll get to you. And we'll see you tomorrow. Try to take some deep breaths, everybody.
Yeah. We'll get over it. Sometimes you got to go through tough times to get to the good times. Amen. But in between times, in the meantime, peace.